Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello one and all, and welcome back to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the automotive and automotive social media worlds. You join me and my guest for this week, Paul Wallace from Supercars of London, in Los Angeles.
All right.
City of the Angels. Is that what it...
Lost Angels, is it not?
Lost Angels, maybe, yeah. Anyway, well, we are here on our week-long Californian adventure, and we are going to use this podcast to catch up on all things Formula One. It is the next Formula One special for Behind the Glass.
Well, we've just had two back-to-back races, so...
We didn't actually watch, we're going to get into that in a second, but we were around each other when they took place.
No, we watched the first one.
But we didn't watch the second one, was my point.
No.
So, to recap, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about,
Formula One is a motorsport.
We are catching up on the Bahrain and Chinese Grand Prix of the 2018 F1 season. If you are not into Formula One, if you despise it, I would advise that you probably skip this episode because it will only be speaking about Formula One. If you have never watched Formula One and are intrigued by it, probably not the best experts to listen to. We are just two fans that are very over opinionated about the sport
and biased.
And if you are a F1 mega fan like us, hopefully you find this an interesting and insightful podcast. So the way we're going to do this is use Formula One's highlights packages of the Bahrain and Chinese Grand Prix to analyze and remind ourselves what happens in each race. Now, complete disclosure, Paul and I haven't seen any footage from the Chinese Grand Prix.
The only thing I know about the Chinese Grand Prix is the winner.
So, last night was our first night in LA. We just got off a 10.5-hour flight. We'd been awake for about 48 hours in total, and we both passed out. I watched the first two laps.
Okay.
Saw Hamilton drop to like fifth and was like, oh, it's going to be a boring race. Closed it. Woke up in the morning. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to get into that. First off, we're going to kickstart with the Bahrain Grand Prix,
which was action packed to say the least. And I think to Formula One fans, it was a really exciting race. But as we discussed after, like if you're not into Formula One and kind of want to dip your toes into seeing what it's all about, maybe you didn't quite understand what was going on because it was quite strategic.
It was very strategy heavy. And actually, if we think about going back to the Australian Grand Prix, that result kind of came through strategy again.
Mm, yeah.
And it might be that this year we're going to have the top three teams running so close that strategy is going to be the best way to win the race.
Yeah, and I think you'll find that teams will start bending the rules ever so slightly with pit stops, or like as we saw in Bahrain, like pit crews were going out and I was asking you, going like, are they allowed to do that? Because they were like bluffing pit stops to try and bring the other teams into the pits.
Well, that you know, there was a sort of a rule put in place ages ago now saying that you couldn't do that. You could only bring your pit crew out into the pit lane if your car was coming in.
Yeah.
And Mercedes did about 3 or 4 times trying to trick Ferrari. But yes, Bahrain Grand Prix, we amazingly watched it in Monaco. Mm. Stars and Bars, which is an awesome sports bar in Monaco. We crammed in there, had way too many cheesy nachos.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Chicken dippers and various things, and had this race streaming. So let's remind ourselves, as I say, here we are on youtube.com/Formula One, and it sounds like, don't know what's happening outside.
The paparazzi are outside.
Yes, LAPD. Okay, so here we go, lining up on the grid. Now we had to remind ourselves, Vettel on pole, Raikkonen on second, and then I can't see the rest of the grid, so we're going to remember very soon.
No, Lewis quite far back? I feel like Lewis was, because he had a grid penalty.
He did. Thank you for that. Yeah, he had a grid penalty and Verstappen had binned it in qualifying.
Yes, but he did manage to put a time in because you originally thought that he was starting in the pits, but he was definitely on the grid because he managed to climb up after the first two corners in unbelievable fashion.
Well, let's get into it. We're going to start off with the race start. I still can't stand how David Cross says Vettel. fiddle. And then we go into the first corner, and I remember this. Bottas went round the outside of Raikkonen, and here we go. First thing I want to talk about, Pierre Gasly. Right. This is something I'd forgotten. Pierre Gasly, Toro Rosso driver. He qualified in sixth. And then moved up to fifth when Hamilton took his penalty.
Yep.
And at the first corner, here we see him lunging around the outside of Daniel Ricciardo, going to start to try and tackle Kimi Raikkonen for third. Yep. I mean, what a hero.
First full season.
First full season and in a Honda-powered Toro Rosso. Yeah. This is going to be, I think, an ongoing trend throughout the year. The McLaren and Toro Rosso, Honda and Renault argument. Who did the right thing? Who picked the right engine?
Yeah, because I was just about to say, actually, there, so far you'd feel that Toro Rosso have done the right thing. But actually, if you look at McLaren's progress in this season after the first three races that we've had so far, they've got more points already than the entire season.
Like, Alonso, I think, is probably sixth now in the championship, and, and McLaren are fourth in the constructors. But after this race in Bahrain, Alonso was like third or fourth in the, and McLaren was second. It was outrageous. But the weird thing about Toro Rosso is they were so strong in winter testing with mileage, however, seemed to have no pace at all in Australia. And Hartley broke down, didn't they? Break down in Australia?
Well, memory's not very good, is it? All I remember from the Australia race in terms of, like, retirements was Haas.
Oh yes, poor Haas. Anyway, so here we go. First thing I remember is Gasly absolutely smashing the start. Otherwise, up front, Bottas, you know, jump Raikkonen, nothing major to report there. We got the Haas. So Haas, here we go. This was Magnussen bumping wheels with Hulkenberg. Magnussen and Hulkenberg. I think Magnussen comes across like such a petulant P-R-I-C-K. I mean, you know, he might be a good driver, and now he's got a sort of half-competitive car under him. I just think he sounds like such a bolshy teenager, and I'm sure we're going to hear more of it later in the race when him and Grosjean were running close together but on different strategies. Yeah. And he's always on the radio complaining. What do you like, Magnussen?
I think he's cool. I think he's cool.
Like him?
Yeah, it just comes across that he's passionate and
he's a dick. That's how it comes across.
No, I find him entertaining, and now that he has got a competitive car, I think he's just going to be more vocal.
Yeah. So here he goes, banging wheels with Hulkenberg into the second corner, and we had Raikkonen trying to come back on Gasly.
And then is this the Force India spin?
Yeah, this is the Force India's, coming into the third or fourth corner now. I do remember the opening lap was a bit mad, lots of action going on, and I do remember Hamilton was a real pussy.
He
really sat back and kind of just bided his time, let all the craziness happen, which I think is a new side to Lewis. It's this maturity that he seems to have gained over the Mercedes years of not being so frantic. He was so frantic back in the McLaren days and just went for everything. And his bout with...
He's a little bit more conservative now because I feel like he's got a strategy in place. He likes to see the other cars show their cards in terms of like the first quarter of the season. He's just like, go on, like, you do your thing, I'll just hang back. And he's done that for the last two seasons and it's worked for him.
Yeah, and I think as well, he's had the luck of a very, very competitive car that he knows he will make up those places and those gaps.
You'll see on the home straight in this race.
Well, that's the thing, is that he just has that power advantage, so he could be a little bit cautious. He sat well back, got out of it. Force India's tripped over, I can't remember who tricked him
probably
up. It was Toro Rosso or someone. Yeah, probably Verstappen. And the action continues now. Here was Lewis just sitting tight. We have one of them.
This is it. The Alonso.
Alonso on Lewis, which was something I think we've all been hoping or wanting to see for so long, ever since that iconic 2007 season of Alonso versus Hamilton. We haven't really had much.
Mexico last year.
Yeah, a couple of races. That was the closest we've come to. But I think we all want to see some Alonso versus Hamilton because it's just epic driving. And Alonso mugged off Lewis there. Easy peasy.
But again, he backed out. He didn't like go for the position.
No, Lewis is biding his time.
Yeah.
Here we see Verstappen already up to God knows what, 11th or something outrageous. Vettel just pulling away right at the front. But it was actually a pretty good and exciting first lap because Australia, everyone was super calm and cautious for the first race of the year. Here's Verstappen and Lewis. So this is
a massive talking point that I've seen on social media since this happened, because obviously we only get a certain amount of angles as it happened before they continue with the live action of the race. And you kind of feel like it was a massive mistake from Verstappen, of him just being young, immature, lap two, trying to go for a position on Lewis Hamilton to get a bit of a confidence boost. But then when you actually watch some of the other angles back, and like Lewis steers in a little bit, and you know Verstappen is obviously avoiding the McLaren, but they kind of like, I don't know, like
we're going to differ an opinion here then, because for me, this is Verstappen's biggest fault or flaw.
Of course, yeah, he didn't need to do that on lap two of a race that is going to span 57.
Yeah, he's got this raw talent, this undeniable raw talent, which you've got to say he's going to be a multiple champion at some point as long as he gets into the right car. But we just keep seeing these chinks in his armor where he shows his age. I hate to say it, and they've all been through it. I remember when Lewis turned up on the scene, Senna would probably say the same, Schumacher. They're young, they're feisty, and they're cutthroat, and they're just a bit bolshy. And this move, anyone who didn't see it, was Verstappen diving up the inside of Lewis Hamilton on lap two, the first corner. Alonso was a bit slow on the apex, so Verstappen had to do a bit of avoiding action. But to me, the way I read it, he then really tries to teach Lewis a bit of a lesson and kind of mark his position on the track by really shoving Lewis as far wide as possible, if not off the track. And Lewis is like, jog on, mate. Like, I'm not going off the track. So ends up touching his rear wheel, and we end up seeing that Verstappen gets a puncture and it ruins his race. Now,
it could have gone the other way, though.
Verstappen's 11th at this point. I'm pretty sure he started 15th or 16th or 17th. So way down out of the points. He's on track for rescuing that mess up. Because I know he said, oh, I got an extra 150 horsepower in qualifying when I wasn't expecting it, so I spun off. Well, expect it, mate. You're a Formula One driver. Like, learn how to control your car. But he's on his way for making up for that error. And now he's just going to absolutely screw it all up. And I appreciate what you're saying, that maybe it was a bit dodgy from Lewis as well, and Lewis could have gone off the track and given him a bit more space, but why?
No, exactly. I think for the first lap, Lewis was so cautious and conservative that he was probably a little bit like, yeah, I've like done the first lap and I've got through it. I don't need this kid here doing that. And as well with Max, I was going to say something, but I completely forgotten what it was.
Okay, no, but there is an air, I think, of the old stewards kind of like, you know, giving the young kid a bit of like, calm down, mate. Yeah. And obviously after there's a bit of controversy because Lewis Hamilton in the podium room, whether he realised it or not, he's claimed he forgot the camera was there, but called Verstappen a dickhead, didn't he?
How many years has he been doing F1? How many times has he been in that room?
And it's always very weird. He has to put his baseball cap on to hide his dodgy hair when he gets his helmet hair. So strange that he forgot the camera was there. So yes, it was a bit of a sort of a little bit of hazing of the of the young kid. But I think they're all a little bit aware that Verstappen is quick and he's coming, and they're
nervous. Though, from Max's point of view, you know Lewis is going to get up the traffic as well, so why not just hang behind him? Like, you don't need to go.
It's reckless. It's unnecessarily reckless.
Just follow him up the grid.
So here we go. So he tries to shove him off. I think Lewis just held his position. They touched. And then we see Verstappen gets a puncture and starts going backwards, and that is...
But before this happens, like, we see this happening now live, and then all of a sudden there's a red ball at the side of the
circuit.
Well,
you're jumping ahead, bro. You're jumping ahead. Stay with the highlights package, because we're still... At the moment, all we know is that Verstappen has just ruined his own race. He's going backwards, got nothing on. We're getting a bit of a replay.
Could have so easily been a puncture to Lewis, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. This is a replay. So I'm going to just... pause frame it. So he comes in, he's too close to Alonso, who's being held up by the Force India and Renault in front. Totally fine. So he's going to try and move a little bit outside. But here, look at the angle of his wheel. He's full locked to the right. And he just slowly starts to push out to kind of boss Lewis's position. Well, look at where all the other cars are. The Force India, the Renault, Alonso are all so far right. And he's like, nah, I'm just going to, you know, whether he's carrying speed or whatever, it's unnecessary. And there you go, there's the contact. And
it is foolish.
It's foolish. It's foolish. Anyway, we move on. And then we're getting a shot here of Verstappen trying to drag the car back. And we then, as you say, suddenly got this cut shot of a car pulled over. And I remember being in Stars and Bars going, oh, Verstappen's out. Yeah. He's not made it back. And then we saw the other Red Bull driving through, which was Verstappen, because this was Danny Rick.
Sad times.
With a bloody full-on engine or... he had a complete electronics failure, didn't he?
Yeah.
So within a group of laps, there's Verstappen still going around with the puncture, and Ricciardo is out of the race. So, so frustrating for Red Bull, because they seem to have had pre-season pace and reliability, but they've come in and had a pretty disastrous Australia and Bahrain, which is a shame. I don't feel like at this point
I really wanted
them
to come in and be fighting right at the top, because I think that's the only chance that they've got.
I'm just going to turn that volume down a bit. So then we have Hulkenberg and Ocon, is it going? I love Ocon, I have to say. I think Ocon's great. Hülkenberg still doing a solid job.
This is exciting now.
And this is now the, I think I'm going to claim it as an iconic three-car overtake by Lewis Hamilton coming down the straight, drafting Alonso, now drafting Ocon and Hülkenberg, and he goes up the inside of all of them.
Yeah.
That was just such a cool move. So clean, so precise. And say what you want about DRS and extra power, it was an iconic move.
Yeah.
And a little bit fake, a little bit false, and you could say if there wasn't any DRS, it wouldn't have happened, but they were all DRSing and drafting each other. So.
And you've also got to remember that that maneuver happened at about 180 miles an hour.
Yeah, the balls of it, sparks in his face. Yeah. It was still exciting to see.
Ocon going in at like a 45 degree angle into the corner in the opposite direction to cut Alonso up.
I don't know what he was doing,
but he just had panic in his eyes of seeing Lewis come through and do that.
But it was an exciting time. Here we go. We're just getting another replay now.
It's just so hard to...
And he's right on the edge there, Lewis. Yeah. He's running out of track space and clean, like smooth braking, absolutely smashing it. Then Lewis again going up past Gasly. So now Lewis is up into fourth. And, you know, a pretty solid race at this point. I think we were feeling pretty excited. We couldn't really work out where he was at with his strategy and things, but we were excited. And then Bottas was the first front runner to blink.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in, puts on the white striped medium tyre.
And at that point, I was like, they're going to the end of the race.
Yeah, so this is where we all started to get a bit confused. But we were like, that's the harder tyre. They're surely going to be going to the end. And we started to realise that the strategy had been split between the Mercedes and the Ferrari in terms of tyre choice.
Yeah.
A Ferrari put on the softer choice. Hamilton hadn't pit by this point. He was still out front. We're watching Vettel catch up on him now, so Hamilton's still waiting. But it was, to touch on what you said at the beginning for sort of like non-F1 fans, this was such a strategy-heavy race. We were watching it with no commentary because we were in a bar, no team radio, nothing. So we were just trying to have to work out kind of from following on Twitter in our own brains what was going on. And this is the side of Formula One that I think is brilliant and a part that I personally really enjoy. And I think some of the most exciting races are when there is a difference in strategy.
Mm.
But it was also overly complicated.
Yeah.
Because
we had to try and work out like how many miles or laps each tyre was going to do and then try and second guess the strategy that was going
to
happen.
We're F1 mega fans and I couldn't remember which tyres they brought to that race. I was like, the yellow tyre, the soft and the super hyper ultra soft and the medium hard density input. Like, I was like, what's going on?
The simple thing was, when Vettel pitted, we both said, on that tyre, he's going to have to pit again.
That's exactly it. What was clear in our minds, and I'm assuming the commentary minds and lots of people, were that the Mercedes were trying to do a one-stop race and Ferrari looked like they were doing a two-stop race.
Yeah.
So that's what we all assessed. So therefore, the Ferraris were going to have to pass the Mercedes on track, but they would have fresher and quicker tyres. So it's still overly complicated. And trying to explain that to somebody who doesn't watch F1 all the time, you're a bit like, well, what?
Yeah.
But it then also makes it exciting because if there was just a one-stop race from both, it probably would have been a bit processional, as we will find out very shortly. So, yeah, here we go. Hamilton playing a bit of the team game, holding up Vettel well.
This was good because I did feel like Lewis was on these smash tyres that had no grip. And you could see it. Like, every corner, Vettel was so much faster coming out of it. And then,
So Hamilton did well as long as he could. But this is where DRS, I guess, is that little bit fake where Vettel, with the fresher tyres and DRS, just cruised on by. So back into the lead there. And then this.
Oh, God.
You actually didn't see. We're going to discuss the Kimi Raikkonen pit stop incident.
Can we just do it very briefly and not actually look at it because it's so awful?
For anyone that didn't see, unfortunately, Kimi Raikkonen left his pit box too soon. He got the green light to go before all the tyres had been fitted to his car. And one of the mechanics had his back turned to the car and the rear wheels when Raikkonen goes, ran over his leg in the mechanic's leg in a pretty disastrous way, and it literally went to jelly. It went to absolute jelly. And I remember you were looking down at your phone. I was like, oh no, they ran him over, he ran him over. And it was just it was a horrible moment. And
I was trying to work out what the strategy is doing.
They just showed the clip. I didn't think they were going to show the clip and highlights, and his leg is literally pointing in all different directions.
It's the worst leg break that I've seen, like, you know, that immediate snap. Like, yeah. I've had my faces when I was 15, 16 years old going on YouTube and watching like the worst leg breaks ever.
Yeah.
And I just don't need to see it anymore. Yeah. And that was so bad. And I don't think Kimi really knew what was going on. All he knew was that it was an unsafe pit. He was out of the race.
He was furious. He was furious. I don't think he knew he'd run him over at this point.
No, he didn't know what was going on.
He's also Kimi Raikkonen, so he's like, is he alive? Okay, fine. I remember after something to sing, I get the green light, I go. That's my job. Yeah. My job is to wait for the green light. So many pit stop incidents this year. Weird that. I don't know if the teams are trying to push too hard, they were trying to go a bit too quick in the pit stops or what, but quite a few. I mean, we saw the Haas incidents obviously in Australia, but a lot of pit stop incidents, which I find...
Well, the one thing that I picked up after that incident was how slow everyone else's pit stops were, because they just had it in the back of their mind and they were conscious. And
just
they
take
were,
it easy.
Yeah, let's just calm it down.
Another thing which I found super interesting is that because Raikkonen stopped, that was all of us going, okay, here we go. Ferrari are coming in for their second stops.
Yeah.
So this was the kind of moment where Mercedes were theoretically going to take the lead of the race with Bottas first, Hamilton in second. Hamilton was kind of catching Bottas-ish, but only by like a tenth or so per lap. So it looked like Bottas had it pretty sealed up. And so Vettel was still out in the lead, Bottas in second and Hamilton in third. However, because of this incident, Ferrari couldn't actually call Vettel in, or we assume they couldn't call him in. So they kind of were forced to switch to a one-stop strategy. But no one really knew this at the time.
Here we go.
Team radio.
Plan
D. Plan
Did they
D.
say D or B?
I hope it's D, because we only hear about Plan A and Plan B, don't we? we didn't hear this radio at the time. So we were still expecting or thinking maybe Vettel's going to come in. And I think Mercedes were. Everyone was thinking that's what was going to happen.
We were getting super nerdy at this point and actually started calculating pit stop times, lap times, and working out how far Lewis had to be up to close to Vettel in case he pitted, just so that he could go ahead. And we were kind of nerding out on that. But I mean, it was just a complete waste of time.
Complete waste of time, because Vettel stayed out and he just kept going. And this, I think, was one of the drives of Sebastian, like one of the best drives of Vettel we've seen.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen an impeccable drive like this from Vettel for a while. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I think he's amazing. And I think he's done some incredible things over the years. But this really showed skill on tyres that should not have lasted that long. He was somehow eking out the pace that he needed to. But for somewhere, the last five or six laps, Bottas suddenly decided to go, oh, I actually probably could catch him.
Yeah.
And I was so furious because it just seemed so little, so late.
Yeah.
And he was catching him in like a second a lap with five laps to go, and the gap was like 8 seconds. Mm. And I was like, what is Bottas doing? Like,
what did he do for the last 10 laps?
What was he doing? Just sitting around going, oh, useless. I guess he was waiting for Seb to pit, but...
No, I think he was waiting for that moment where he could put so much pressure on Vettel for the last three laps that either his tyres would start blistering or he would get a puncture like Silverstone last year. And if that's the case, then it was a proper risky strategy, which obviously
it
didn't pay off.
I think it's naive of Bottas. I think he underestimated Vettel.
Yeah.
I think it was a bad strategy from him or from the team.
Mm.
And what it ended up being was a one-shot opportunity.
Yeah.
It was the final lap going into the first corner. He didn't look close enough coming out of that final corner, but he did get DRS. And all I was saying was lunge, lunge, lunge. Because at this point, even though he's so far back, you've got to go for it. That's your chance to win the entire race.
Yeah.
You've just been working your butt off for however many laps. You know Vettel's tyres are absolutely dead. He can't push them. Just lunge, because Vettel will have to react and you might get the grip out of the corner.
Yeah.
And Bottas just freaking pussied out. And I'm going off Bottas so quickly. Because I'm sorry, if you're in a top team and you're trying to prove yourself and you're on a one-year contract, you've got to go for this, even if you mess up, even if you crash. Hamilton's going to get the victory.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't think they're going to care. Hamilton will get... like. So this, I thought, was awful. Didn't even make a half-assed effort. And at that point, that was it. Vettel was going to have the victory. There was no chance that Bottas was going to get through
anywhere
else.
It was that one DRS moment that he had.
His one shot.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So that brings us to the end. I don't think we actually need to see Vettel cross the line, but you're right, it was an exciting race for the nerds and those that like strategy. But all in all, for me, the biggest takeaway was Ferrari are genuinely, I think, the pace setters here.
Yeah, they are very, very quick. And the other thing that I took away from that is it proves that Bottas is the second driver, because what would have happened if Lewis was in Bottas's shoes?
Well, just the other way around, Vettel and Bottas, if they were switched positions.
Yeah.
I think almost any, I mean, Verstappen, Ricciardo, Raikkonen maybe not, because I think he's bored, Hamilton, Alonso.
Yeah, like, there's so many people on the grid.
No one would have sat back the way Bottas did.
I know.
I couldn't make sense of that.
The only thing that I thought of was that he was biding his time, waiting right to the end of the race and hoping that if he put pressure on Vettel, but Vettel, he's a veteran and he knows how to handle it.
Yeah, he's
like,
not gonna...
I just thought that was an amazing drive from Vettel. I'm a big fan of him, but obviously I'm a bigger fan of Lewis and Mercedes AMG, so I never want him to win. But then after that, and just seeing what an incredible feat that was to push those tires to that limit, but still be putting in the times that he was putting in, I was just like, that just proves why he is the world champion that he is.
Incredible. By the way, for any of you watching on the YouTube channel, I'm sorry that I'm slouching down so much. We're in a very echoey room, so we're having to be very close to the mics, and they're a little bit low. So
Sam advised me to eat the mic.
Yeah.
And I remember the last time someone said, or there was a lot of comments saying that, like, I might as well have been in another room. So that's the one thing that I'm trying not to do this time.
Yeah, yeah. So it's hard. So my posture's awful, but that's what I'm doing. But that kind of wraps up. The only other thing I want to mention very quickly before we move on to the Chinese Grand Prix, which I'm very excited to do because obviously we haven't seen any footage. Ericsson.
Yeah.
Ericsson in ninth in the Alfa Romeo Sauber. I mean, I saw a tweet, I think it was Tiamat Marduk to the gaming F1 gamer, if you don't know his channel, go check it out. Tweet saying, I think this is the first time I've ever seen Ericsson do an overtake. Because what a surprising result. Yeah. And I do quite like how close the midfield are.
Yeah.
The fact that Gasly could end up in fourth, absolutely stunning race from that guy. And then Ericsson could be in ninth, and Alonso and Van Dorn are in there. And it just seems like we might get a few of these surprise results, depending on how cars perform on certain tracks.
You just hope that it doesn't get swept under the rug, because that was the first time that I saw Ericsson in ninth.
Like, yeah, I mean...
Because it's so exciting up at the top, and then you get the Red Bulls going out, and you never know what's
Gasly
going on.
Stole
and
that attention.
He did,
But for Ericsson, and I think for Sauber, that was quite a big...
Do we want to talk about Williams or
not? Are they even in the race? Let's move on to the Chinese Grand Prix, because we've been chatting for 25 minutes now about a race that happened a week ago, and I'm over that. I want to watch footage from the Chinese Grand Prix. So yes, to recap, if you are just tuning in for whatever reason, if you've skipped ahead, if you didn't want to hear us talk about the Bahrain Grand Prix, Paul and I haven't seen any action from the Chinese Grand Prix. I know a little bit more about what happened than Paul.
I have absolutely no idea, other than who won the race.
Okay.
I don't know who came second or third.
So... this is almost going to be like a live reaction type thing. Again, we are using the highlights package from the Formula One site. I'm sorry that I can't overlay any B-roll of this. Of course, with YouTube, I can't steal this footage from Formula One, so we're just commentating on it. I'll put the links to the highlights packages below so you can go and check them out.
But what is cool is the fact that Formula One are so active on social media, because
this is brilliant.
So
I know
refreshing.
They introduced it the last 18 months or so, but
it was
how great is this? Yes, beautifully sunny day. We once again are greeted by a Ferrari front row, Vettel,
AMG at the back.
And a C63 car. Medical car at the back.
I could do that job.
So one thing I like about Shanghai, because you're not a big fan of this track.
I'm not. I'm awful at it on the Xbox, but I'm very good at Bahrain.
Is the first corner is usually mental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I did watch the first two laps of this race, and all I can say is it freaking depressing and boring. Anyway, here we go, because apparently the race was insane.
That's
live reactions.
That's because it was dry.
I'll turn the volume up because we are literally going to be watching this. We can't talk too much over it because we're going to be trying to take it in. So I'll try and keep the commentary in so you're not totally bored when we're just staring at a screen.
Are we just going to watch the whole 7 minutes straight or...
No, because okay. That would be awful. We're going to pause it and react and talk and discuss is what we're seeing, because audio-only listeners, I think, would be very bored if we just watched 7 minutes. So here we go.
A lot of Heineken sponsorship.
Cool. Oh, that was quite aggressive from Vettel. Yeah. I'm going back on that.
Oh, sorry, I need to get close to the mic.
Yeah. Vettel really went to swipe Raikkonen off the line there. I wouldn't expect that. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, there goes an AMG.
And then
who's
that's
that?
Bottas.
Oh.
Because, trust me, as I said, I switched off because Lewis just went backwards. Literally, I think this is similar to his Bahrain tactics. Mm. He is so cautious in these first opening laps. And I know you said that Lewis seems to like to sit back in recent seasons, bide his time, suss out how he's going to attack the season, and then go full force.
Yeah.
Firstly, I think the Mercedes is not the quickest car on the grid this year.
No.
I think the Ferrari is quicker, and I think arguably Red Bull is as quick as Mercedes, if not maybe got a tenth or so. I think they haven't shown it yet. And I think Lewis is struggling with that slightly.
But has Lewis ever been good at starting?
No, he's awful off the line. But what I mean is, and I think you're going to see it now, I feel like this is a very dejected race from Lewis.
Okay.
And I think it was a dejected qualifying.
Yeah.
And I think
in
Bahrain, he was a bit dejected. Mm. And there was that point where he was pushing, and then he kind of stopped. In Australia, he was pushing, and then he kind of stopped. And I don't know. I'd be interested to watch. Is that hunger and motivation still there from Lewis?
Mm.
I just... Let's see. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, because last year, let's not forget, Vettel had a commanding lead at mid-season point.
Yeah.
And then Lewis destroyed him.
Yeah.
Anyway, onwards. Yeah, Renault right up there. Hülkenberg again, strong. Here's Lewis going backwards. So that's Verstappen and Ricciardo.
Look how dirty the outside line is, though.
Lewis sitting well out.
Oh, guys, who's that?
So this is Verstappen. This is Verstappen now coming around the outside of Raikkonen for third.
I like that.
You got Lewis. I don't know what he's doing.
What line is that?
Freaking out of the action entirely. I'm just going to sit over here by myself. And then this kind of cluster F of cars behind them. But...
Oh, who's off track?
Max is swearing about something and being aggro.
I've got...
Yeah, so that was an interesting move from Lewis. I didn't see that. And Danny Rick now all over Lewis. Wow, okay, so we've skipped 21
what?
Laps.
Wow, so that must have been a really boring first half of
the
race.
The first half of the race, 21 laps, super dull, because we're to the pit stops, watching Vettel come out, Bottas coming down the start-finish straight.
We've got no information who's pitted at this
We have
point
no idea what's going on with strategy or who's pitted or who hasn't pitted, but...
Gasly's 18th and Stroll's 9th.
Yeah, but this is Toro Rosso had a shocker this weekend.
Okay.
Toro Rosso had an absolute shocker, like in Australia.
Yeah.
So Bahrain was a bit of a blip for them. Let's see what's going to happen here. Ooh. So Bottas jumped him in the pits. So they must have done an undercut or something like that. Again, unfortunately, we haven't got the information here. We're literally watching the highlights package and reacting. But Bottas has jumped Vettel in the pits. That's interesting. Undercut, there we go.
Good lads.
Hashtag strategy once again. And what's this?
So Kimi's obviously not pitted at that point.
Ah, okay, good. I was literally like, what the hell is going on? So yeah, Kimi must have stayed out, and we're watching Bottas go around the outside of him on fresher tyres. Oh, that's a nice move, actually. You know, all my slagging off of Bottas, that was a nice move.
Yeah,
and you got Vettel right there as well.
So Kimi again just sort of pushed to the bottom of the pile of Ferrari's priorities.
We're like, Kimi, to stay out, we're going to check out, see what we can do with your tyres. Kimi tried to come back on him.
Vettel.
Well, that was a bit mad. So Raikkonen tried to come back on the inside and then let Vettel through. And Vettel's right there. I mean, he's a couple of tenths behind Bottas. So
surely you think Ferrari there are trying to put Raikkonen to back Bottas up into Vettel. So as they've done here, because
Vettel's right on him. Oh, the Toro. Speaking about the Toro Rosso having a shitter. Sorry for the language. They've just taken each other off. That looks like into the hairpin at the end of the long straight. We've got the two. I can't work out who's facing backwards. Here we go. Oh, someone's on a lunge. That is a proper lunge.
No.
Oh, what?
Lock up. Well,
no, that wasn't a lock up. That was like a bizarre.
As if his brakes weren't fully working.
Well, like he thought he was going through, but look, I think he thought Hartley was letting him through. I think he thought Hartley was letting.
Yeah, he closed the door.
Yeah. I think he thought Hartley was letting him through because that was a weird and bold move.
Yeah, because there was no movement on the track into the corner apart from him just turning in.
Safety car. This is how the race is going to turn on its head.
Okay.
So
safety at this point, the race winner is
Bottas
fifth. Yeah, but no, I'm saying the actual race winner.
Oh, sorry,
is fifth.
In the grand scheme of things, yeah, because we know the race result. Spoiler alert: it's Danny Ric, and he's fifth at this point. Bottas in the lead, Vettel, Verstappen, Hamilton, Ricciardo,
Raikkonen.
And what
lap did the safety car come out? Because mate.
So we go.
Here we go.
Oh, Verstappen.
Yeah.
Okay, so double stack.
I wondered if Red Bull got the opportunity to pit. Oh wow! If this entire race is
okay. Sorry. So, again, we are reacting to this live, so apologies for our jumping all over the place and cutting each other off. So lap 35 now.
Yeah.
So what we just witnessed was the Red Bull totally taking advantage of the fact that they could get into the pits under the safety car.
Yeah.
However, we do know the race winner.
Mm.
And after the safety car, the green flags has come out. We've got Bottas in first, Vettel in second, Hamilton in third, Verstappen in fourth, Raikkonen in fifth. Danny Ric is still down in sixth. And he's going to win this race somehow.
But do you think that the other teams need to pit again? Do you think that they...
Yes. Well, I think... Well, they just said any teams worried about going to the end. So from this shot, we can see that Bottas is on the medium tyre and the Red Bulls went onto the yellow, softer tyre. Okay. So...
That wipes the Ferraris out.
Let's see what happens.
But still, Ricciardo's got to go past Verstappen.
Yeah, Ricciardo's got a lot of work to do no matter what. There's a lot of action going on at the back. Alonso getting racy. Classic.
Ooh, yeah.
Classic.
Here we go.
What? Yeah.
Oh, that is...
Oh, that was...
That is wide.
That was brave from Alonso.
I love safety car restarts. Because I feel like drivers have built up so much adrenaline from the race so far that it's better than the actual start of the race.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they go for bigger moves.
Virtual safety car, I understand it, but I also think it's pointless. Just bring out a safety car, it's cool. Yeah. As long as the safety car doesn't stay out longer than 5 laps. I hate those safety cars like 15 laps later.
Yes.
So this is Alonso in 9th. Oh no, sorry. Yeah, Alonso in 9th, just being super racy. All the midfield are just super racy. That's the first time we've heard that in 2018. The two Force Indias very nearly come together, but they didn't. They managed it. So, yeah, we're watching a lot of action happening after the safety car restart in the midfield.
Van Dorn just going backwards.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we just saw a classic Danny Ric lunge into the big hairpin.
The one thing you know is Ricciardo has got overtakes in the bag.
Okay, so yeah, so Ricciardo just did Raikkonen, and we've cut immediately to Verstappen going around the outside of Lewis.
So this is going to be where Ricciardo overtakes Verstappen, I'm guessing. I reckon Verstappen gets this wrong.
Interesting. Whoa! You weren't lying. What? Verstappen just had a major moment trying to go around. I was like, this is bold going around the outside of this corner. Like, if he does this, Lewis is going to be embarrassed. Verstappen gets a massive twitch. He's gone massively wide and it's cut to a shot where you can just see Danny Ric still on track. And I think you're about to be right. Let's see. Yeah. Again, Verstappen, chill out, mate.
Yeah.
Like, what an impressive thing to try and do. But your tyres aren't going to be up to temperature. It's just after the safety car. Just...
Dirty line.
Weird place to overtake.
Yeah.
I love the fact he's trying. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact he's trying. But okay, so Danny Ric is now up to fourth.
Yeah.
Making a bit more sense. And then
history.
What? Maybe there's no pits and Ricardo Danny, just goes on fire.
Danny Rick just lunged up the inside of Lewis. And I mean, that made Lewis look average.
Yeah.
And also, I think, proved to me that the Red Bull, at least here in Shanghai, is definitely quicker than the Merc. Because he's just come out that corner. Yeah. I know he's got the fresher tyres, but that was freaking impressive.
You'd want to know how old Lewis's tyres are. But I mean,
Red Bull are loving it.
Yeah.
We got Verstappen on Hamilton now. I think Lewis didn't even try.
No, is he driving like a non-S C63? If he had an S63.
Do you know, do you remember a few years ago, it didn't happen last year, maybe it didn't happen the Rosberg year, but when they were sort of winning easily, he would sort of get distracted by like life things. Do you remember like
crashing his Zonda?
Yeah. Exactly, when he got drunk. When he crashed his Zonda at 4 a.m. in Monaco, stone cold sober. And he would just go in these weird races. He had like three or four races where he didn't really show up.
Yeah.
What is he doing there? He's just let Ricciardo and Verstappen through. It looks like a back marker.
Yeah.
He didn't have the grip to defend, and Verstappen... Come on, mate.
I do wonder how old his tyres are. I don't want to find excuses for Lewis, but...
Still, that upsets me a bit. Oh, here comes... Okay,
what a
Danny
hero.
Danny
what a hero.
So we just said, Ricciardo is in sixth. How on earth is he going to get this thing? At the minute, just by overtaking... Yeah.
Like,
I love Danny Rick.
This is actually quite mad. I'm a massive Formula One fan, but I just assumed... That it was just
something was going to go wrong,
stops,
or a strategy or thing like that.
Yeah,
and we're seeing actual overtaking, legit bit between the teeth, on it overtaking. What a hero! Oh, Verstappen! He crashed into Vettel. I'm replaying that.
God,
I'm replaying that. I thought that was Danny Rick on.
Surely now, because
okay, so Danny Rick does it, does a beautiful clean move, and then.
Oh my god.
Okay, so just quickly, whilst that's going on, Raikkonen and Hamilton have to take avoiding action, and Raikkonen jumped Hamilton. I need to watch that again. I can't really work out what happens.
Bearing in mind, after Bahrain, Vettel supported Lewis for just having adrenaline in his body.
And having an opinion.
Now, Max is not doing any favours with his driving at the moment. That's two mistakes in the race. One of them obviously costing
Vettel. It doesn't even look like an opening. Hold on a second. Because look at that.
No.
Like,
I mean...
He's lunging when they're already turning into the apex. And you can hear Martin Bottas like, oh no, Max, don't do it!
Yeah. Yeah, look, he's like...
So disappointed, like... And so nearly wiped out Hamilton and Raikkonen as well. Like, so nearly. What? I mean, what is that move? I know it looks like Vettel's gone deep, but I know there's going to be the centre. People might comment and go, oh, if you see a gap, you must go for it. You're a racing driver. And I don't get me wrong. I love that Max is bringing this kind of, like, new frenzied way into Formula 1 of, like, PlayStation gaming, go for everything. But you can't if you just crash every single time.
No.
Like, that's not the way to do it.
He locked up.
Vettel,
do you remember Vettel and Kvyat's relationship? I feel like that.
The torpedo. yes. Well, I mean, great for the championship because Vettel's now down in sixth. Looks like he's about to get overtaken by Hülkenberg. And considering that Lewis is just away with the fairies today, I guess great. But oh, Max, what are you doing? He obviously got some damage, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going wide. Yeah. He's got a lot of image, a lot of damage. Oh! Oh!
Whoa!
We've just seen Ricciardo taking Bottas for the lead, and that is a move and a half.
That's like a double bluff. He's like, yeah, I'm going outside. Actually, no, I'm not.
Okay, so we're coming down into... This is the turn five or so, the hairpin after the first couple of corners. And Ricciardo's doing well. He goes for the inside. Bottas moves to close the door in the braking zone, punches hell. Mm. they kind of, like, it looks it's here like weird. Ricardo's going to back out.
Yeah.
Or, like, cut around. But then he doesn't, because it's classic Ricardo late on the break.
Look
suddenly
at
realize,
their or,
look that, at that angle for
is
that
there,
corner.
Yeah, I was just about to say, is there even a gap there?
Oh, he's having to do a little correction here, because look, he's just closing the gap. But this, okay, I have to say, just to beat up on Verstappen a bit more, and apologies for any Verstappen fans, I do really like him. But right here, Ricardo and Bottas racing, that is this is an insane overtake.
Yeah.
Do they touch enough to cause any damage or injury? No.
Yeah.
They've given each other just enough space and probably through a bit of luck.
Mm. Yeah.
Ricardo somehow finds a gap there.
I mean, that. No DRS, nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is true overtaking.
That's cool. I like that angle.
He's such a hero.
Yeah.
Verstappen got a penalty.
But that's not real. Like,
again, there you go. Lewis is going, cool, have fun, guys. I'm just...
A 10-second penalty to Verstappen is not going to help the fact that Vettel is now 7th.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Oh! Alonso just took Vettel by killing him.
Yeah.
I need to see a replay of that. Show a replay. Come on.
That is...
Here we go. Look at this.
Shutting the door.
Alonso goes up the inside and then just...
drives straight.
Oh, my God. Goes right to the edge of the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bold from Alonso. Here we go. I mean, Daniel Ricciardo here crossing the line to win the race. I think one of the best stories for F1 that we could have had. Firstly, to have a non-Ferrari or Mercedes winner. From pure pace, he won it on pace overtaking. The fact that he barely got out for qualifying the day before because of the engine rebuild. It's Danny Rick. Like, I'm so happy about this.
Firstly, from a result point of view, I'm so glad to see. Did he neck a boot?
Let's get to the podium.
Also,
bring the volume down.
Max Verstappen there, great team player.
Checking out everyone
else. Take everyone else out. Clear the way for Danny Rick.
So we get Bottas in second and Raikkonen in third. Vettel going to lose out to another Renault? Eighth place for Vettel. Carlos Sainz doesn't quite do it. So wow. Bad for Vettel. Really bad day for Vettel.
Yeah.
And Red Bull are celebrating. I think it's just great. As I say, like, they've had a dodgy first couple of races. Danny Rick celebrating. As much as I love Verstappen, I do think right now in life, if these guys are title competitors, title challengers, Danny Rick's the guy to do it. Like, that was an incredible drive.
We didn't see
him.
No.
I'm assuming he did the booty.
Yeah.
But that was a sensational drive. We just watched a 7-minute highlights package. Can you imagine how exciting the race would have been?
Live.
Unfortunately, it was on at 11 p.m. LA time, and we had, as I say, been awake for 48 hours, so we couldn't watch it. But that was quite a fun way to
That was really cool to see that for the first time, but then also to be proved wrong in my expectations of what the race was going to be.
Yes.
Just fully expecting Ricardo to just overtake them because everyone else needed pits, but actually it was down to just him having the grip between his teeth. It was awesome.
Absolutely amazing. Well, there we go. That is our second F1 special and our recap of the second and third race of the Formula 1 2018 season. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. We will be doing more. The next race is Baku. If you are watching us for the first time here on the YouTube channel, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe for weekly episodes of the Behind the Glass podcast and infrequent F1 recaps. Paul, it's been great. You're becoming the F1 show regular here on Behind the Glass, which I think is good. And if you're listening to us on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass, make sure to keep following us there and on iTunes podcast. Anything else that we want to add? Any other reflections? Any big statements you want to make? Cool. Anyway, thank you very much. Catch up with you soon. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.